gather round. It's Mecha Podcast 2000.
Hey there, hi there, welcome to the show. This is Mega Podcast 2K, the hottest pod in Atlanta, Georgia. I am Seth. I'm sitting across from Dana.
What is good?
How's it going? You doing all right?
Way better than last week, you know?
Health, yeah, I think we're both recovering.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting there. We're getting through this bullshit season.
Seriously.
We're troopers. Our voices are recovering. The most important thing in this audio medium. Tragic news happened today. Or last night, Takeoff, or this morning.
No, you're right, this morning. You're
Takeoff passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was 3 a.m.
It's like 2, yeah, you're right, yeah, somewhere around there.
Out here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Houston is. Forgot, yeah.
1 hour behind. Mm-hmm. He was killed in a dice game, which is fucking insane when you think about it, because he's a millionaire. Highly successful rapper. And yeah. Got caught up in some bullshit.
That sucks, yeah, over a dice game.
A lot of speculation on what happened. Quavo was there. I'm sure there'll be a full police report. But it's tragic. I mean, man was on top of the world.
Yeah, they just put out a record, him and Quavo.
And they just did a show. It looked lit. I think they were just starting a tour. So it's a shame.
It's a sad day.
I think that, you know, Atlanta's hurting because you got Young Thug and Gunna in jail. You have, I mean, who died? Lil Keed or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
That guy got killed. I mean, you know, Young Dolph, that wasn't even that long ago.
Yeah.
It's just crazy how many rappers are still dying. You would think that this would pass at some point, but it seems to keep happening. And it's happening to the big, this is one of the biggest guys,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. You would just think that it'd be hard to touch. But, you know, rappers, I guess, want to feel relatable and not, like, touchable, but, you know.
They want to do the shit that they used to do, yeah, and, like, be normal. Mm-hmm. But that's why Lil Wayne, like, doesn't live in New Orleans anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to separate yourself. Because there's all kinds of sharks out there, and who knows, you know. Everybody's trying to get at you. And also, it's kind of like this crazy thing where people, like, get clout off killing people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this fucked up thing. Like, I mean, not even that long ago, I didn't even know who the other guy, the PNB guy, remember that?
Oh, yeah,
that was like maybe a
I didn't
month
even,
ago.
Yeah, I didn't even know who he was.
I
either.
Know that
yeah.
was, but it's like that dude just got killed. I mean, if you laid out the list of rappers that have been killed in the past 3 years,
it's a lot.
Ridiculous.
This year is getting crazy, yeah.
So it's a sad day. Atlanta be hurting. Everybody's hurting
yeah.
on this one.
Well, hopefully you listen to this podcast and it'll make your day a little bit better.
Yeah. So just wanted to shout out, Takeoff.
Because
he was probably lyrically the best of them. I think Quavo has the best delivery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he has as good of lyrics. Offset is just whatever. Offset.
It's just a sad day.
And he's like estranged from the group.
Yeah.
So it's like
he definitely is not always with Quavo and Takeoff.
Well,
it's always Quavo and Takeoff together.
But they didn't even do they didn't do the album together.
Yeah. Well, like, I think they just wanted to do a tag team album between them two. But you know,
no, Offset's, I think they have beef.
Really?
Yeah, that's why
I didn't know.
That's why
I don't get caught up. I don't I'm not like big into the down south beef. Because mostly you hear beef about New York rappers are mostly always having the beef. You never really hear about down south beef, at least from my perspective.
Yeah.
Maybe because I'm immersed in nothing but New York music. But yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, Migos were like broken up.
Okay.
Yeah. So it sucks because, you know, I'm sure he feels horrible that he passes away while they're like, you know, going through some shit and you don't get to resolve it, you know?
Yeah. Maybe that'll bring Quavo and.
Probably so, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will.
They're from the same area, Athens, Georgia. I'm sure they all grew up together, all three of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're related.
Yeah.
I think Quavo's the uncle.
I'm just saying, though. You know what I mean? Like, just
and
still
then,
sucks.
Oh, it's horrible.
You know what I mean? Like, I would hope whatever that... It sucks because when things like that happen and you're like, damn, death brought us back together because we lost, you know... And we're both coming off someone we lost pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I feel like you just got to like forgive, move on, try to like get over
and keep in touch.
Yeah. And like, if you have a dispute with somebody, just talk about it.
Yeah. Don't, try to work it out.
Yeah. It's just, you, like you said, you never know when you might not see that person. It's so cliche to be like, tomorrow's not promised, but like literally.
It's true.
You could literally it's just true. Like be gone, you know? Yeah. So.
Well, just wanted to shout that out and mm-hmm. we'll get into some other things.
I'm getting there.
Choo! Dana was a party animal this Halloween weekend.
I was outside catching me out.
I love when Dana's outside. That's like my favorite thing. I was like, oh, look at him posting so his rare. Shit.
I know.
I love right? it. I'm like, fuck yeah.
Because I don't. I know.
What was the deets on the party?
The party was lit. You know, now that I'm going to clarify the swipes, we've been doing this now for the listeners. The party itself mm-hmm. as a Halloween party, which shout out to Madison and her boyfriend. I actually text her. She's going to be a new pod listener. So I told her when this comes out, I will let her know. And I'm going to rate the party itself as a 3 power swipe. That's high. You know, Dana doesn't give out. Dana doesn't give out 3 powers.
Nah.
And let me tell you why it was a 3 power.
Why? Because
I walk in, right? And when you see a party, first of all, you know it's a good party when A, cars are lined out.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, where's the house, right? And mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I see the cars. 2, you see lights.
Oh, I'm
like,
shit.
Whoa, why is something, man, it sounds like something going on back. You know what uh-huh. I'm saying? Right? 3, beer pong's outside. Okay, I knew it was a wrap from right there. I was like, okay, those 3 things. Cars, lights, beer pong outside. Okay? Then it's like, it's on. Yeah, I walk in, right? And then it's crazy because you're like, you don't know what the expectations of Halloween costumes at a Halloween party. I always go in like, I'm going to see some good ones. I hope I go in, right?
Yeah.
Saw Stewart from SpongeBob. It was amazing.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, I wish you saw.
You
I was
mean
thinking,
Patrick?
Patrick, sorry.
Patrick Stewart?
At first I thought she was Conehead, but obviously, yeah, because yeah. she had, you know, I'm sorry, like she had the cone, right? But then someone brought me down to reality and was like, yo, come on, man.
Yeah, why you got the skin color. Why the Conehead pink?
I don't know, man, but it just reminded me of Conehead. And it didn't matter because she still won an award. For her costume, it was a 3 swipe. For I love SpongeBob. Come on, who doesn't love that? 3rd, the number 1 costume for me was Thelma because you saw me post it. I mean, mm-hmm. she was spot on from like the haircut.
Wait, are you
the
talking glasses. About Velma?
Velma, you know what
You're
I mean.
You're on one today.
I am on one.
We got Stewart,
Velma.
Thelma.
She had it locked down.
Let's go.
Eddie from Stranger Things. So, and that was home guy pulled that off really
well. What was
well.
Eddie? The curly haired rocker?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Leather jacket.
Yeah, leather jacket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bangs.
There was someone dressed as Prey from the
Ooh.
Movie. I know.
Damn, they went off.
I just couldn't get it all. You know, it was just yeah. popping. I couldn't, my phone, you know, I was trying to do the most because I'm not outside that much. And when I am, yeah. I try to get it in, but... You know, so I was catching up with Cookie. We both know Miss Holiday. She's like Pamela Greer. She's a bartender. She's amazing. She's got a personality if you ever meet her.
Had a baby at the party.
I mean, those were the coolest. There was another. She wasn't the only
one.
She
brought the baby to the party.
There was another baby there, like 3-4 years old, dressed up as Goku. I mean, I was like, yo, everywhere I turned around, I was like, what the fuck?
Damn.
Baby Goku with the tail from the back? I mean,
oh,
what?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. That's lit.
Lit. So it was costumes galore. That's why it was a 3 power swipe, because then only did she have a good party. She had drinks and IVs.
Nice, nice.
She had Jello shots and syringes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was classic. She had the selfie portrait set up where you had the big circle and stand up and just, you saw where I was taking, you know, that's where I had my little phone posted up.
Oh, they went in.
They went in. Yeah. So like I said, it was a 3 power swipe all around. It would have maybe been a 4 if we probably had more like louder music.
Yeah.
But other than that.
Yeah. Was there a DJ?
There was no DJ. It just had like, you know, piano, Spotify probably playing. Which was still fine. As long as you got music playing, it was fine.
100%.
You know, and she had food there, had nice selection of drinks, you know, Coke.
Mm-hmm. Cocaine?
Well, hold on. No, let me not say Coke. You know what I mean? Coca-Cola. I say Coke. Okay, you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. White Claw. It just had a variety of drinks, you know, from alcohol to Jello shots to just everything. And so when you can have a party there with also kids there and also having a good time, I just felt like it was a combination of just a well-rounded party. So shout out to Madison for having and inviting me there. It was a good weekend.
Good.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
I
went as the West Side Gun, so if you didn't know, Seth is probably about the only person that got it.
Yeah.
Seth is about the only person that nailed it off rip, so yeah.
Shout out West Side Gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went to a wedding on Sunday. I went to a Halloween party. I was in a skeleton onesie, which is really hard to
pee. There was one of those there too.
It's just easy. I did not have time. And I was like, fuck it. Got it off Etsy. Dick was out. Girls like that, by the way. I got a lot of comments. You know, like, it's one thing, like, it's crazy because, like,
your dick was out?
I mean,
so he was out here rolling, rolling, rolling. Oh my gosh, the biscuit was out. No, it wasn't a limp biscuit, though. It was. Oh my gosh. Okay, so you was out there with the panty dropping costume, dick out.
It's like, it's crazy because, like, I'm wearing this onesie, right? And it's just showing everything. And I was like, I don't, well, you know, whatever. Yeah. I had like a little fanny pack for my shit in it. And girls were commenting on it. What's that?
We're calling them a sacho.
It's a
better word.
A sacho?
Yeah.
Okay, I had my sacho.
There we go.
And girls were like just commenting on it. My bulge the whole time. I mean, it's just out.
Yeah.
None, you know, but.
Well, in those type of outfits, they kind of.
But like it makes you think, like, if superheroes were real, they would be like saving you from a fire with their dick out. Like,
it makes you think if the ones in Karate Kid, did they have cups in those? Because them shits were tight. They weren't like weren't like onesies. Them things was like,
I think you just smash it down. You know, you smash the beans and hogs down. But I even wore like kind of compression shorts just to help. But I mean, it was just like a skin tight.
Yeah.
Suit, but it's crazy because, like, I can't just, like, those girls who are provocatively dressed, and I can't just be like, oh my god, your titties look great, you know, oh my god, your ass cheeks. But like, women are just like, okay, Seth, like,
yeah, you definitely can't say that to her, you definitely can't say that the other
way. So, I wanted, I'm just letting y'all know I was sexually harassed, and I hated every second.
I'm not even gonna lie, I probably would have felt uncomfortable if I had that bulge out. I'm not even gonna lie. I probably would have wore the satchel right over
the that. Last time I had my bulge out, I had a very rough night.
Yeah.
I actually went to, may or not have gone to jail. So I wanted to change the tune. You know, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to get plastered this time. I'm just going to drink two beers and just be confident and whatever. And I did, and it was fine. And it's actually, once you're used to having your dick out, I think it's kind of life-changing, honestly. Because it's like, once you get, it's, I guess it's how women feel when they dress like half naked, you know? It's like,
no,
you,
I see that all day at Banana.
Are staring at you and all that.
They come in with the little nice silk lingeries and dresses with the split down the middle.
Yeah. And it's just like all eyes on me, you know? And it's, it, when, if you can like get used to that feeling, it's like fucking, you feel like a superhero.
Oh, I have to tuck mine in that suit when I'm at Banana because I have these traveler pants. They're kind of like slim.
Yeah.
So when I get ready for work, yeah, I had to tuck that thing.
To the left or the right?
I know, you know, most guys don't know that for tailors when they say, which way do you swing, to the left or the right? I was one of those guys for a while that didn't know what that meant when the tailor said that to me. He's like, which way do you swing? I was like, what are you talking about?
To the left. To the left, to the left.
Oh, gosh, I'm the right, though. Yeah, to the right.
Okay, all
right. So, bounce, yeah, like, bounce. I had that. So, when I'm, like, you know, because we have to dress professional, somewhat stylish at Banana, I just can't have that shit just bulging out in these pants. So, yeah, I feel you. I'm not comfortable like that. Because sometimes, like, you know, you have to go use the bathroom, and then you come back, you're like, shit, I didn't tuck. My shit is, like,
just out there.
So, when I'm it's just, like, yeah. So
that's why I'm into the baggy pants now. Like, more room for comfort.
I can't wear baggy at Banana.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you can't. That is not the Banana Republic style.
It's like, do you see anybody dressing baggy at Express for Men?
I don't know. I haven't been to... Do they even exist? Express is still a thing?
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen
it. Express for Men has fucking dope suits. Get out of here.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know, dude. I haven't been there in like 20 years.
I haven't been either, but when I used to see the suits, them guys like in the commercials, I'm like, damn, they're nice little suits.
I guess. I don't know.
I haven't bought anything from Express for Men, but I've just seen ads.
I remember buying like homecoming shirts from them, but
yeah.
I haven't been there. Yeah. I haven't been to a mall or anything like that, though, in a minute.
Yeah, I haven't been in a while either.
Which I'm going to try to keep it that way.
Yeah.
But other than that, I ended up going to a wedding, and I got a suit. I got a blue suit. What's going on? Oh, he's the bonsai tree.
Just decorating out there. Seth is... We got the little... Upgrading the back...
Yeah, the stew.
You know? Shout little, out Jameson out here.
Yeah, just, you know, working the bonsai tree.
I love it. I do.
Yeah, we got a little bistro set up. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's cute.
It's nice.
You know, we're changing.
We should have been doing the kickback.
He put that here, whatever this is.
Yeah, I'm trying to get Seth to do the kickback here. We have open door, you know what I mean? Policy shit.
Well, I'm getting the grill. The grill just needs to be assembled. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's a grill here.
Yeah.
And once that's on, the cookouts are a go.
Mm-hmm.
But after the Halloween party, though, this Sunday, I went to a wedding.
Mm-hmm. That was the wedding. Hold on. How was the party rate? Was
it rate worthy?
Was it swipe worthy?
It's a power. I would give a power two.
Ooh, okay. That's still good.
It would have been better at a house. It was a house party, but they like rented a space.
Oh, okay.
It was like a birthday. Shout out my girl Michaela. Mm-hmm. That's the homie.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a space that was rented, and it was just like too like open. You know, I think there's something about. You know, if there's like 50 people or something like that, you need to cram them, you mm-hmm, know, mm-hmm. If there's too much space. It just looks weird. Yeah. There's just too much. Empty
like this
space.
One was a house Negative. Party. Yeah, it was her house. The so best. It was like packed. It was like
everybody's in the kitchen. Yeah, you know, exactly. In the back, yeah, you know, let me switch
outside,
vibes.
Yep. Exactly.
You can kind of keep changing the energy. Mm-hmm. There's some house parties are the best, but so it was fun though. I had a good, I mean, I had to keep it real chill.
Yeah.
But, other than that, though, I went to this wedding and I got my suit and all that. Honestly, I spent a lot on this suit. I'm having soup. I need to bring it back and get it like, taken in.
What the?
Y'all do suits over there?
Banana. Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't know.
We have like $600 suits.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this one was expensive, but it just like
$400 suit jackets.
The tailoring was just like not on point. But anyway, so that was one thing. Maybe I'm just fat now.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm not agreeing with that. I was just listening.
No, you're good. But I mean, I think November is my slim down month.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to this. So it was a Jewish wedding, and they did the hora.
Those are always fire.
Hey,
I'm doing it right now, y'all, in the studio. Hear my steps.
Hey, boom, boom,
hey, that was good.
Thank you.
I was doing
it. And it was lit, right? Yeah.
Did you do the move? I would have been doing it.
No.
Oh.
Well, because it was like all the family.
Uh-huh. That shit gets me hype.
It was super lit, I don't know why. But it was weirdly a bluegrass band was playing it. But it was still cool. It was just very weird, very appropriation vibes.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, so I'm like, damn, Jewish weddings are lit.
Yeah, they are.
But then it was my neighbor's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his girl are like low key mad basic and lame.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, immediately after the ceremony, they do this and everybody's lit. The clapping was loud. And like the old men are, it looks like they're like crip walking.
They come out with their hands like that.
People were doing the, remember Mo?
He was so hype for the party, bro. Like, them shits are hype, bro.
No, it was lit, right?
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, they clear the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And in front of the band, they end up putting two lounge chairs and a couch and a rug. And I was like, what is this, some Jewish thing? Like, what's this?
Yeah.
And then we go eat or whatever. I'm like, that's weird. We go eat. And I'm like, all right, like, when's the dancing
going to start again? Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no, they didn't want to do dancing.
Oh.
I was like, what? This has nothing to do with religion or anything.
Sounds like a two-swipe wedding. It went from, like, in the power section with my dance, but then down now.
I'll give it a two because the liquor was fucking good. Mm-hmm. I was drinking dirty martinis, mm-hmm. scotch. The food was hitting.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like...
The best part is the dancing and reception part.
It's like, I don't feel like talking to y'all anymore, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, it's like...
And like... There was even like old people like dancing around the couches, but they literally like put up a living room in front of the band so nobody would fucking dance. It's like
maybe that's for people. Maybe they don't dance.
My thing is like, look, you don't have to dance.
Yeah,
it's not for you. Mm-hmm. You know,
but they'll feel like most weddings they have the bride and groom have to do their like whatever.
How hard is a fucking?
No, I agree.
Dance?
Trust me, I love the ones that are. Are a choreographed with the daughter and father. I love those.
Bought you flowers.
Shoot, when they break out the dance moves, I love those.
Now my baby's dancing. But she's dancing with a man. I remember I was at a wedding. I used to film them, and they were playing that. And I was listening to the lyrics. I'm like, that song is not a wedding song. It's about how your girl got away and somebody else stole your bitch. But anyway, yeah. So yeah. I'll give it 2 swipes.
That's cool. Yeah.
It was very fancy. I mean, I looked pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I was also like, so apparently y'all have been having bronchitis for like over a month. I went to the doctor. Virtual doctor appointment. Highly recommend if you got that health insurance. Flex. Anyway, but I was off the promethazine and steroids. So like cheaper my too. Face looked crazy. I was like red as fuck. And I probably shouldn't have been drinking, but fuck it. Mm. We had a good time though. But yeah, 2 swipes because there's no dancing. I mean, definitely met a lot of cool people.
Yeah. Out of here.
Just to get the show moving, I will say this though, like, I start off really bad in social situations, like when I'm like, don't know anyone, only knew 3 people at the whole wedding. But after a while, I just start meeting people slowly. Mm-hmm. And then I get comfortable or whatever. But man, I hate walking into a place where it's like, there was 150 people
there.
That's
a lot.
And I was just like, you know, like, I'm the neighbor, you know, like, but there was some high rollers in that bitch.
Sounds litty still.
It was tight. Everybody looked good. Everybody was in suits and shit. I'm glad I did my thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Moving on.
We in this. We was all outside.
It felt like Footloose.
Mega podcast. We was outside this weekend. You know?
Briefly, I wanted to talk about this article. I don't know if this is going to make the cut because I think I read the article. I'm like, this just is ridiculous. But one of our longtime listeners, Edgar Allan Poe Boy.
Yo, let's go.
Sent me an article that.
Now we're keeping this.
Was by CNN.
He's a it listener.
Was about vampires in Atlanta and New Orleans. And there are vampires that live among us, ladies and gentlemen.
I believe it.
Yeah, there's the Atlanta Vampire Alliance. And then there is the Vampire Court in New Orleans. Maven Lore runs the Vampire Court in New Orleans. And then
does it operate during the day or night? I just need to know.
So
if it operates during the day, you guys are false pump faking.
They
here.
Are false. There's some fronting ass people.
Because y'all need to stick to the guns if y'all gonna do this right. God damn it.
Well, so
operate at night.
Some of them actually drink. No, it they, yeah, they be in the
yeah,
daylight.
Go all
they
the
be
way.
In the daylight.
I mean, I'm just saying.
They be in the daylight.
Yeah, they faking. Just be real about it.
But these vampires, just a piece of the article, both vampires said they resist being recognized solely for the fact that they identify as vampires. And they certainly resist aesthetic stereotypes of vampirism. Murdicus, that's the head of the Atlanta one, Murdicus, said he doesn't wear fangs or goth costumes. Lore, that's the New Orleans guy, describes his nighttime style as a cross between snazzy suit wear and 80s rock and roll. When he's crafting fangs, he prefers to keep it casual and athleisure. So one of them like makes fangs for a living in New Orleans. And I think this article is hilarious because if you ever like live or walk around New Orleans, there's always a vampire guy walking around and a pirate. Like,
I mean, it's New Orleans. Let's just be real. There's an eclectic group of citizens and inhabitants that live in New Orleans. That's one thing I've learned from watching shows about New Orleans. Or just Louisiana in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very, very diverse group of people there. So I believe anything that comes out of there. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can tell me like, yeah, I mean, they party for a living in New Orleans. They have second lines.
Yeah, but being a vampire, Sunday. being a vampire.
There's probably vampires in the second line.
That's like me saying I want to be a I want to be a werewolf.
I mean,
do.
You kind of almost resemble one with.
Thank you. Yeah. With the beard.
The hair,
and all
the
that.
Beard. Yeah.
No, that's my shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not that delusional, I guess.
Right.
And this doesn't always apparently have to do with sucking blood. It's like you could be an energy
Which
vampire.
Is cool. You know what? I'm cool as long as you do it right. Like, don't
yeah, a lot of
walk
times
during the day and say, I'm a vampire. Like, bruh, stick to it. Like, yo, I work at night. I do
like
things
wear,
at night.
Like,
I wear all black.
Big hats.
Yeah, and, like, you know what I mean?
Cover
like,
your skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to go 100.
Just go 100
right?
with it.
Well, I don't know with this quote. Both Lore and Murdicus, I love these fucking names, said the vampirism doesn't occupy their entire lives.
Which is cool because that means they're living reality.
Both
which is fine.
Are in committed relationships
yeah, that's cool.
with non-vampires.
Yeah, that's fine.
They
Shout
said,
out to their partners.
And, they said, and being a vampire is just one facet of who they are,
That's
not
cool.
their defining quality.
I respect that. I respect it. Hey,
I mean, know? It sounds like anybody could be a vampire, yeah. Which is like not fun.
It's people are. I feel like people.
It's harder to be Jewish.
That are witch are into Wiccan are more serious about it. Like that's a lifestyle.
The Wiccan,
you know,
stuff.
Like, you know, I've met a Wiccan. Like,
I feel like I believe somebody if they're a witch more than no doubt.
You know, because I've met one, like, and they're about that life.
I used to date a witch.
Like, yeah, she was cool.
Yeah, I think she cursed me after we broke up. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to lie. But luckily, I have a lot of people praying for me. Mm-hmm. So there's a battle for good and evil over my head. Oh, yeah. Every day. Douse myself in holy water. But anyway, just wanted to briefly talk about vampirism. I kind of want to try to find this Atlanta Vampire Alliance.
I mean, like, True Blood is based out of New Orleans. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm not surprised at all. You can tell me anything that comes out of New Orleans, I won't be surprised, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I exactly. And I think you could write the same article on pirates.
Yep. You're right.
Which I feel like you could claim anything at this point. You could be a knight if you want. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like you actually have to do anything. It's just like lonely people. I don't know. But anyway, that's that on vampires.
It's good.
Even though we're in November.
It just turned. Come on.
All right, so finally getting into the movie reviews and whatnot, I got All Quiet on the Western Front on Netflix.
Hold on, shout out to both our teams. We both won this week. Saints blanked out them hot damn Raiders.
Oh, yeah. And
killed them. Yo, first of all, I know we're going into movies. I'm sorry. This is sport related. I'm sorry. First of all.
Yeah, you got it.
Dalton? I remember I texted you last week. I was like, yo, your homeboy looks like a QB. And then immediately after that, he threw like two picks. I felt so bad after texting you that.
Yeah.
And you ghosted me at that, which I deserved it because I was like, if someone would have did that to me and then Jalen turned around and third.
Not that I ghosted you.
I'm just being joking because it was your team at the time. And you're like, bro, come on. Like,
I was just like depressed.
And I knew that as soon as I had said that because I was like, yo, he was doing really well. He really was. I was like, wow.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
You know, but I mean, then turns around. And now look, this Sunday, he looked good. Yeah. You know, Winston's is healthy. They're not playing him.
He's better than Winston. Winston's like a fucking idiot. Just keep him out.
Mm-hmm.
Without
Michael Thomas, you know, Kamara wants a trade.
Is that true?
Yeah, the Eagles were talking about getting him. This past week, but it's Tuesday, so if it's gonna happen, it would happen today.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
Yeah, Kamara's been out. He's put it out there that he wants to trade. He wanted to get out. He wants to get out. And I think it's because New Orleans is not going anywhere. Obviously,
yeah, and I can see that.
You don't want to waste his
talent. That's what I am worried about. You know? That's what happens. That's the thing about sports, man. It's like, man, if you're not winning your division or whatever, your players are just like bailing.
Get me out of here.
Yeah, but it's fucking. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. You know. Well, it kind of does now, but it doesn't last. It but yeah, if you went to the Eagles, it'd be disgusting.
Well, I don't think we're going to do it, but they were talking. It was like, yo, Kareem Hunt. I mean, not Kareem Hunt, but, you know, talking to, you know, Saints running back.
I mean,
I don't think the Saints will be dumb enough to ever let Alvin Kamara go. Like, you got to be insane.
We would have to get a lot for that.
Yeah.
And I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get into this movie shit. Let me run the button off. Oh, my bad.
Double it up.
Two times. There you go. All Quiet on the Western Front. This is the latest adaptation of the classic book. The book came out in 1929. The original movie came out in 1930.
Yeah, I remember when it came out.
You remember that? So it's on Netflix. It's a German production, which is pretty cool because it's about German soldiers
in World War One.
Yes, and
I saw the preview.
It reminded me
of 1917 and how much higher reviews you gave it, and I immediately did not want to watch it.
Well, that's the thing, though. Too, a lot of it looks like 1917. Mm-hmm. I can tell they kind of like took. There's some shots in it that are like.
That's why I didn't kind of watch it.
Like, there's flares that go up and they light the woods, and the shadows move with the flares as they move through the air. I'm like, that's straight out of 1917. But the thing is, the thing about this movie is that every war movie, I feel like, draws from this movie. This is
or
kinda,
just from World War One. I'm like,
yeah, but right? this came out like in 1930, right? Like not long after World War One.
Pearl Harbor happened in 1941, so
Right, but what does that have to do with this?
I'm just saying that's World War II, right? Back to back, you know what I mean? Dang, like,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he literally wrote a movie right after, or, you know, one war, and then we literally went into another war right after that.
Right, but I'm just saying that every war movie kind of stands on the shoulders of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're watching it, it's really good, and it shows you the atrocities of war and like these young men going, and the, you know, they're real excited, and it is brutal. This movie's super, super violent, like. Hell of a, they show you everything, and they just show you how terrible, you know, you can't help but think about what people are going through in Ukraine, especially as like winter's coming, and it's just like trench warfare. But you see all these other things that are tropes in movies you've seen before.
Exactly.
And it's because this movie was like the original, you know what I mean? So it's a weird feeling where you're like, I've seen this before, but at the same time, this movie is like paying homage to like one of the, like a epic classic novel that's like on the, you know, level of Crime and Punishment, or you know, Les Miserables or whatever. So it's a great movie. It's long.
It's like 2 hours.
It's very it's dark, it's sad, it's powerful. I really enjoyed it. It's just weird because it looks like so many other movies that have come out in the past like 10 years, so it's kind of a weird feeling. Where it's like, I've seen this before.
Yep.
But I do think it's worth watching because it is really captures how fucked up war is and how these young men are just like, you know, traumatized and, you know, basically being sent in by, you know, old men who have air conditioning or, you know, or fed nicely and stuff. And it's really, it's a great movie. I don't know, though, if it's going to get, I'm sure it'll get nominated Best Foreign Picture, Foreign Film. I don't know if it's going to win, but it is a great movie. It just does feel like it's been done before, and that's because it kind of has, literally and figuratively. But I'm going to give it – I think I'll give it a power three, honestly. I mean, I think this movie's important, you know?
I'm not going to watch it because just exactly what you said, it's like every other war movie that's ever came out, it's like – how many history lessons are we going to get on World War I or two or Vietnam or whatever other war? I'm just saying, like you said, it's been done. Even if still it's a nostalgic classic movie, it's been done. It's like,
and you're right.
I'm like, I'm not going to watch it because, yeah.
But it's,
I see
also
1917,
rare.
I'm just like, nah, man. Like, yeah, if you're like 18, 19, you want to get caught up on something, like, yo, let me check out a new perspective of World War I. Yeah, go watch it. But it's like, for anybody else that's like a movie enthusiast, or anything like war or anything, you love those type of movies, like, yeah, this has been done. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, war, like, I mean, I'm going to just skip this because.
Well, for me, the one thing that is probably the most interesting part about it is it's about the Germans, you know? It makes you sympathize with the Germans, which is something you normally aren't going to do in any war movie.
So it's
you get to see the losing side, and you get to see that, you know, they're just humans, you know, being, you know, told what to do. And you also get to see why they ended up, you know, joining, you know, or the Nazi party took over is because like they got screwed in World War One with all their like sanctions and all that. And like, Germany just went into like extreme poverty after World War One because of the terms of like the condition of the surrender with France. So, I mean, I learned some shit, I'm not going to lie. And it's just really well acted. And I just like how raw it is. Like 1917, like, is like a beautiful journey. And there's some dark stuff that happened in it. But in this, there's like, it's brutal, like brutal. So. Like in 1917, there's like this epic run he makes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? He's
Trust
running sideways.
Me, yeah.
Everybody's charging line. The guy runs into him. And it's like powerful.
There's
and
two
beautiful.
Running scenes in there where he's like running, and it's kind of like, all right.
But in this movie, there's like, there's nothing glorious about it. You know, there's like nothing. At no point are you like, is there any heroes in it? You know?
I mean, like I said, if you're into it, I think it's for people that definitely are into, like, if you're older, like. And you've just seen a lot of war movies, you'll probably skip this one. But if you're new into war movies, then you should probably watch it because it is trending on Netflix. But like I said, and I wouldn't even suspect it not to be good either because it's Netflix and they've put out high quality stuff. I'm not even down. It's just that, like I said, it's just one of those things where I've watched so many yeah. that I'm just like, I can't, you know.
Yeah,
that.
I mean,
just,
yeah, you see, you know, you see all these other movies in it. So I don't know, but yeah, Power mm-hmm. 3, I really enjoyed it. But, you know, it's not light, mm-hmm. you know. It's definitely something you got to really sit down and pay attention to. I'd rather have seen this movie in theaters, honestly. I do like that it's in the original language as well.
I feel like if you want to watch something like something similar to this, watch Band of Brothers.
Yeah, it's Band deep. Of Brothers is great.
It's like, it's deep, educational, and you get both sides of the perspectives. I think they do a good job of shooting from the Nazis' perspective and from the American side. And it shows you how it goes from World War One into World War II. So
there you go. Next up, we got Andor. Speaking of war,
shout out, let's go Disney.
I'm reading right now that there's 12 episodes. I'm on episode 8. We'll keep this brief because we don't like to rate things, but it's just we're just checking up on it. Mm-hmm. I still think it's great.
Yep,
it's Star Wars for adults.
Mm-hmm.
I like that I don't have to, you know, kind of let things slide for because there's no Grogu's in this. There's no Baby Yodas. You know,
it's adult yeah. all the way.
And I think the acting's great, and mm-hmm. it's fucking cool to see. This is the Star Wars universe I want to see.
Mm-hmm. I just wish I wish Rogue One was like, honestly, I ain't gonna lie to you.
I liked Rogue One.
I did like it, but I wish this was. I wish Rogue One would have been a series.
Like, well, that's kind of it. I mean, well, it's, you know, leading. I think that's the direction it's going.
Rogue One felt like. It was good. I'm not hating. I just like the way it's watching Andor is making me like, man, I wish Rogue One might have been maybe.
Well, there's supposed to be something called Rogue Squadron, but that, okay. I think that got pushed on the back burner, which was going to be about like the.
Just X-Wing more development fire. Of it, you know, because Rogue One was kind of like a movie, but it was all rushed in. You know what yeah. I'm saying? Like you're well, like,
this,
damn, like
but this is
this is like.
I don't know, though. This kind of is what you're talking about, because especially when you get to, like, episode 8, they start bringing in some Rogue One characters.
Well, no, it's fine, but we got Rogue One in a movie, whereas Andor's is, like, a well, methodically planned out
yeah,
series.
It's crazy. I think it's going to be 12 episodes.
I feel like each episode could be a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, honestly, because
it looks amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
There's this jail episode that is so good. That's episode 8, and it's, like, really good, and it's really hopeless. Like, mm-hmm. it really makes you... It's like what they build in it is just like real hopeless, and mm-hmm. they do a good job, and it's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Just at one point, I was telling you earlier, there's a guy in like a cubicle, you know, like working his mm-hmm. like Star Wars day job. It's cool. This is what I want to see. I don't need the Jedi as much, and I don't need the.
No, I like the rebel part of this.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I want to see the war part.
So. That's what I liked about. I think everybody liked about Rogue One because it was more rebelish. Like, what was Star Wars?
Well, there was no, like, you're chosen.
It's like, my favorite Star Wars is when the Jabberwockies and they're on the planet.
Not
and,
the Jabberwockies.
You know
the,
what I'm...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the Wookiees. What are the Wookiees?
Yeah.
And they are having to protect that one area when they come together and you have to... It's like a rebel. I can't remember which Star Wars it is. Because there's so many.
Return of the Jedi.
I think that's the one.
That's the one where not the Wookiees. What are those little shits called?
Ewoks. Yeah.
Ewoks.
That was like Rogue One, where it was like rebel, a lot of rebel.
Yeah, fighting.
Fighting.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about this, because it's like you said, less focused on Jedi force powers and shit like
right.
that.
Right. I think the force power stuff gets kind of just corny after. Like, use it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Rogue One kind of had that too, where they got the guy who was blind
and it was too much.
A little tapped in.
Right. It was a little, yeah, yeah.
But I was cool with that.
It was cool. It wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
Like you said.
But I think this is a must watch, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Andor's a must watch.
I think it's just great TV. I'm like, damn, this might get a nomination. Like, it's really good TV. It's just, you know, it's cool that. I don't have to fucking like let fucking whack shit slide. Like,
I wish they would do Wookiees now, right? Bring some of those in. They were like adorable.
Not Wookiees, the Ewoks.
They were amazing.
No, I leave them out.
You don't like them?
No. That's for the children. Next up, we have the Watchers.
Were they killed?
Yeah, man.
Right.
I mean, but they're like little fucking teddy bears. The Watchers.
They would have killed you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You would have landed in there. Like,
I could have taken.
You probably would have got 4 or 5 of them.
You ever have this thought? I was walking by like a playground. There was like, I don't know if it was a playground, but there was mm-hmm. like 8. Oh, I was at Murder Kroger of all places. And there was like 8 7-year-olds mm-hmm. or like maybe 11-year-olds around like the bike racks
yeah.
where I was like locking up. And I was like, I wonder if I could beat all them up.
Why would you?
Like, I wonder, because I don't know. I was just like locking up my bike. I'm right. Like, what if they tried to steal my bike? I was like, what if I think I could take them. I think I could take like 7 11-year-olds. And I was like, how would I do it? You know?
Just yeah.
Fucking punch to the throat, all of them. All right. Next up.
Yes. Watch. The Watcher is a. Oh my gosh. It's based on a true story. A lot of podcasters and have done reviews about this. It's a family moves into a dream home out in New York from the city. And they're plagued by this like creepy stalker letter. And also they have strange neighbors and they like to just walk into their house whenever they feel like it almost.
What?
Yeah. It's weird because there's all these, there's certain episodes or scenes where each like, it's like a new day. Like they have one episode particular or not episode, but one scene particular, they have a door. What's that called? A thing where you send food up and it goes up. What's that? The old fashioned word. Door.
No, I get called? What you're saying.
Dang it. What is that thing called?
Hey, Jameson. What's that thing where you pull the, you put the food in the thing and you pull it up to the
dumbwaiter. Thank you. Yes, there's a dumbwaiter.
Producer in this Jameson. One scene.
Thank you. And there's a dumbwaiter that in this house. And when they're viewing the house, they're like, oh, cool, whatever, dumbwaiter. And they eventually buy the house, of course. And then the kid goes into the dumbwaiter just to, like, open it up, you know, with his, yeah. You just look, see, and there's this old-ass dude in there, like, boo. And you're like, and the dad gets mad who plays by, he was the bad guy in Jumanji. I can't pronounce his name. Bobby.
Was in Vinyl.
Yeah.
He's in a bunch of shit.
Yeah, I he's a B, I think, moving it up to an A.
Yeah, he's a...
He's waking his way up.
He's like an Italian guy.
He's got, he's got Naomi Watts, who always plays a mom in everything she does. And it also has Jennifer Coolidge, who plays... Okay. It was in Pootie Tang, Lover. Yeah. Stifler's mom.
Great.
So it has a very electric cast, and it's really good, and it's creepy, mysterious, and all that good thing, because you're trying to figure out who's watching the house, because they've... have multiple people. It isn't just neighbors. It's like a community of people.
Like a cult.
Yeah. Like so that. It seems like it's almost like The Burbs.
Yeah.
But a little bit darker.
Yeah.
So I think it's a must watch. It's 2020, came out. It's technically a mystery. It's a 52% on Rotten.
Came out in 2020?
Yeah, 2022. I'm sorry.
Okay, 2022. Okay, I was about to say.
It has a 52% on Rotten Tomato. I only think that's because it's new and I think it's catching on and people are like, whoa.
Well, it's number 6.6
on IMDb. So it's in the first season and I think it's going to be really good. I think it's going to be really good.
All right, check it out.
Not going to rate it because I'm still watching it.
We're not done with it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Next up, I have Barbarian, HBO Max streaming. Yeah, don't get
it fooled. It is Barbarians on Netflix, too. So he's talking about the one.
This one's Barbarian. I think Netflix is Barbarians 2.
It says, no, it's just Barbarians.
Okay.
Plural. That's so it.
Barbarians.
Yeah.
Barbarian is just a movie on HBO Max. Justin Long's in it.
I love Justin Long.
This girl. Yeah, I'm a Mac. There's this girl in it. I don't know her name. She's fucking good. There's a great cameo in it. This is an amazing horror movie. I think we need more movies like this. It's like the opposite of Smile, which was like full of just jump scares. This had a few of them, but like Smile sacrificed the story just to have a bunch of jump scares. This just had a really compelling story where you feel like the girl in it makes like all the decisions pretty much you would make, you know? Like they kind of force her into a situation. It's not like where you have like some dumb idiot, you know, like in all these other movies, like why don't you seek help here or there? Mm-hmm. You know, she makes a lot of logical decisions. And then Justin Long plays like a pompous asshole and he's kind of the moron. Really cool monster, really cool, set designs, like just awesome. It's set in Detroit, which I feel like is a really great place to have horror movies because It Follows was also in Detroit because it's just kind of like desolate and it's like what kind of weird things have been like happening the past 30 years in this like kind of failing city, you know, like who knows like what kind of dark shit's going on. I think it's a banger. It's power three for me.
Okay.
I think I gave out 2 today.
Yeah.
I highly recommend this movie. I couldn't take my eyes off it. It's just like the pacing's perfect. Just the whole thing. It's a great movie. I wish I would have seen it in theaters is my only thing. It's just fucking really good. So okay. Check that shit out. Must watch, in my opinion. Yeah. We're getting it. Next up, we have The Watcher. No, From Scratch.
That was a good one. Okay. Yeah, shout out my homeboy Valentino from my work. He put me onto this. From Scratch, he's got Zoe Saldana, who is my fave.
Saldana.
It's just a good love relationship story. It has a 7.9 on IMDb, which is very high.
That is.
It has a 92% on Rotten Tomato.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like she plays this American student in Italy. Come on. It already sounds fire right there. Let's just stop.
How old is she? She's like 40.
Doesn't matter. She doesn't age. Don't you disrespect her ever.
She's okay? A student.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. And so who falls in love with a Sicilian chef? Come on. I mean, God, food. Love it. So it's just the basis of it. It's an episode series on Netflix.
She's 44.
Why are you going to do her like that?
She's a student.
If you listen to this, Zoe... You don't have to like Seth.
I mean, she looks incredible.
You look like you're 23. I mean, you look gorgeous. So, hey, Keith David looks like he's 65. If you want to talk about someone old who's in the series, if you don't know who he is, then look him up. He's a glorified B range actor. Good supporting.
Yeah, he's Candyman. Somewhere between.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he was in there. Yeah. No. Yeah. I can't remember.
He's in The Thing. And he's They in The Live. Thing. He's yeah. in Nope. I don't know if he's Candyman.
I don't know.
That's not Candyman.
He was in actually. They Live, which was a classic.
Fuck yeah. Come I love on. That movie.
Yeah.
No, he's not in the, he's not in fucking Candyman.
But it's a good boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever.
Yeah.
Netflix chill, whatever you want to call it. Watch on Netflix. It's top. It's trending right now up there with your movie you just... was talking about. It's up all on there on the top. Yeah. It's up there on the top. I suggest checking it out. It's on season one, and well, it also limited, came out in 22. So
it's a limited series. So yeah, it's only going to be that.
Mm-hmm. So
no, I've actually there's some girls at work who were like, "You need to watch this." Good. I know you don't probably watch stuff like this, but they kept begging.
Neither
me.
Neither do I. Yeah. But that's why I watched it.
And I hear it's like a lot of cultural stuff, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. he's Greek.
Yep.
And, yeah, and just I don't know. I might find it in my heart to watch that. So, are you finished with it?
No, I'm not finished with it yet. So I'm not going to rate it. Yep. Okay. Working on that in The Watchers, both Netflix, because I was on Hulu while I was sick.
Oh, yeah. I've been all over my shit from being sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's a benefit to the pod, not to our health.
Yeah, not for them.
All right. I got Los Espookies on HBO Max. I love this show. It has a special place in my heart. I remember... Not that long ago, I was like, man, where's the Mexican or Latino representation on shit? They're doing it. It's an all-Spanish show. Fred Armisen and I forgot the other guy's name, but they're like the head writers. It's funny. It's weird. It's just bizarre. It's really niche brand of humor that I feel like is right up my alley. Mm-hmm. And I don't think this is for everybody, but I think it is if you want something – offbeat, different, and you also are into like, you know, kitschy horror movies and like special effects like from Evil Dead and things like that, there's a lot of like homages paid to those kind of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very particular, but I love it. I'm not finished with it, and yeah, I think try out this show if you want to work on your Spanish and you want to be, you know, entertained. I think it's kind of a super group of Spanish comedians, of young Spanish comedians that run it. Tati is my favorite.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Right. Check that out. Get it.
Human Playground.
Yo, this is another Netflix. I've been on a Netflix roll, guys. I'm going to be on a little bit of everything here. I'll probably go to Amazon next week. There's something I got to watch on there. I'm not going to talk about it. But this right now, you know, my love for Idris Elba is narrated by him. And it's a documentary series that explores the origin and evolution of play across the globe.
Huh.
From age-old rituals to billion-dollar businesses. So it's pretty cool. I'm going to give you a couple of brief episodes on some of the ones I like. All right. So it's literally about Human Playground, which it's a common, it's not what you think, like the rolling down the hill of the cheese. These are like rite of passages. These are all type of like cultural games that different diverse countries play. So for one episode, I think it's three, it has the rite of passage and it talks about young men being sumo wrestlers. So they take these kids that are like 13, 14 years old that train them to be sumo wrestlers. And if you know anything about Japanese sumo wrestling, that's a dedicated sport. You actually lose years off your life to become a sumo wrestler.
All the bad food you eat.
Because of all the food you eat. And you get to see these kids that are like 13, 14 become sumo wrestlers and going to these competitions and pushing really hard. And it's just crazy to see like how much they put into these kids in Japan when it comes, because sumo is a very big tradition, rich tradition in Japan. There's another episode that was based on called Big Business. And there was this combat sport in Seagal where it's like Greek-Roman wrestling. And you have to get your opponent on the back. But the difference is that you can punch in this. So it's wrestling and punching. It's in Seagal. So it's like in the stadium, it's like $1 million stadium. These tribes have these dudes like in a circle, like fighting. And the first one on their back is out. That's how you win.
Yeah.
And you win tons of money. So it's like rite of passage.
Where is this?
Seagal. So it's like Africa.
Oh.
There's another ancient ritual that's based out of Africa. It's from a ritual war game. It's like a nomadic hunting game tradition where it's a test of bravery and skill and a fuel. They take this long stick and you have to go in there and hit each other with it and to beat your opponent. And the only way you can win if you tap out from the hit.
What like the fuck?
In these big long sticks, like humongous, and they're cracking each other. So, like, over
most
the head.
Of these games are they all violent?
Well, all right, take this one game, the very first episode, Breaking the Pain Barrier. This lady travels across a marathon in a desert. And the only way you lose if the camel passes you, right?
Yeah.
And it's across the Sahara Desert. Think about that. It's a marathon.
Yeah.
So she breaks down, has the worst cramp. She has to get IVs put in her. And like the whole point is like she lost her leg, one of her leg. So it's like she wants to feel what pain is like because she wants to push herself.
Yeah.
So like the whole aura of the Human Playground is like these games are people pushing themselves to limit. Like this one chick goes underwater and sub below freezing water for 5 minutes at 40.
These don't sound fun.
You know what I'm saying?
None of these sound like playground stuff.
That's the whole point. They're like she went through a very trying time where she got raped. So like she battled. Christ. She couldn't figure out a way how to get through it, right? Yeah. So she's like, someone told her about meditating and how you can channel meditating and get your body to do certain things. And she went into the water of like freezing cold water and it's only for like a minute.
Yeah.
But from when they show it on Netflix, it looks like 5 minutes, right? But it's beautiful at a sense. Like this one Pursuit of Perfection in Hawaii, these divers jump off cliffs.
Yeah.
And when like cliffs, literally mountain cliffs where water is splashing.
Yeah.
And tons of tourist people just round up all along just to watch these tourists jump off. Our locals jump off a cliff into a water where they could crush their skulls. But it's called the Pursuit of the Perfection drop. So it's like all these different games are crazy because everybody, like these guys from Seoul, Korea, they make so much money on video games that they don't know what to spend with it.
That's how much.
And like
they have those houses too.
So like one episode is just going like in there and in the Human Playground. So they break down like maybe four or five different Human Play games through each episode. So like they're full packed. One probably has like four of them. You know what I'm saying? So It's tight. Like you get an appreciation of like the right one country, one game. A group of Africa, I forgot where it's at. They have to ride a bull, and they have this bull that has a hunch on his back.
Yeah,
and there's girls up top, and they are watching the guys jump on the bull, and they get to pick which guy they want to talk to because they get to show their strength. Like which guy gets off. The kid's saying that there's like people been kicked.
Yeah.
Killed.
Yeah.
And like, but it's a game. Like they literally go on, they're like picking jump down and hop on a bull's hump.
I think that's a metaphor for men and women right there.
But it's just like you get to learn about the cultures through these. So it's called The Human Playground. It's on Netflix. It's only like 6 episodes. They're like 42 to 36 minutes. Okay. Quick watches. If you want to be blown away,
yeah,
watch it. I'm telling you, you'll be like, whoa. Like, yeah, insane. Like,
okay, cool. Yeah. Sounds fire.
Yeah.
I did not know what that was about.
Yeah, well, it just pushes the boundaries, like games. Like, hey, yeah, like these couple, they travel over these type mountain peaks.
Yeah.
In cold weather, just to travel to see like how far they can push yourselves. Like, jeez, when you think about it, the mountains make you feel small, and you get to actually take in what, if you believe in religion or not, like, damn, we're bigger than this. Like, the world's bigger than this.
Yeah.
So they get to show you that from these little trips. Like, there's this couple, like, that's what they do. They like to just hike on these mountains and get to different peaks and look down and see how far they can push yourselves. Yeah. Like, so it's just like, each game is like...
It sounds like all these people, like, are adrenaline junkies.
Almost, to an extent, yeah, a little bit. Some of it's adrenaline, some of it's rite of passage, some of it's culture. Yeah. So it's a little bit of everything. But it's all a game at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it's called, Human Playground. That's
the most dangerous game.
Like, I mean, the sumo one got me. Yeah. That was really introspective. The couple that travels the mountains is really crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's a couple episodes that'll have you like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like,
Netflix is super strong with the docuseries. They kill it with the docuseries stuff. Like, they have so much.
And it's just good. It's just a good, well, and it's like a docu, but it's quick. You're not sucking you up like Nat Geo. You have to be like watching it a bunch. It's just like, and it just bounces around America, different countries. Yeah. So it's cool. It's not just stuck.
Are we swiping it up?
Yeah, I've watched it. I'm going to give it 2 power swipes. Yes.
2 power swipes. Mm-hmm. Human Playground.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's it for our run of show. I think White Lotus has dropped. That's probably my next thing. But I don't know. We'll find more.
Yeah. I have a list. I'm going to.
And we're going to go out on Versace, because that's the first song I thought of.
Mm-hmm. West Side Guns has a new record out. Y'all check it out. It's better than his last one. It's actually really good. Oh, I mean, it's true, right? This one is a panty dropper, technically. This is a gated community. Please get the fuck off the property. That must be changing, cause I'm at the top and no one on top of me. Niggas be wanting a that man, that's not a swap to me. Whoever paid for the last Brooklyn game, front row seats for people to wear. Those, so, and those are not cheap seats, guys. Just let me put that out there. Like, whoever did that put out a lot of money, like, to put a point out there. Like, so if you don't know what I'm talking about, the whole Kyrie anti-Semitic, if you haven't even watched that movie, I'm not going to promote it. Yeah, it's one of those.
Well, that's like Farrakhan. Like, yeah. Like, people who support Farrakhan's an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I've seen him reposted a lot by certain people I follow. And I'm like, and I'll watch the videos. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that's racist. And
that's what Kyrie's going through right
now. Yeah. It's crazy that anti-Semitism is like coming out.
Kanye.
Like,
Kyrie.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, nah, it's just. I don't know why hating on Jews is a big thing right now. I don't understand.
Well, I think it was just under the surface. And now it's like, because people have spoken out, it's made other people okay with speaking out. It's fucking crazy. It's scary. Like, we in some fucked up time, y'all. Like
don't deny it.
The internet has wrecked us.
Yeah. Get you to believe anything. Kyrie, the earth's flat. So, and he went to Duke University. So it's like, he's fucking all types. I put him in the same boat as Kanye. Like, someone has some Yeezys on, whatever, I don't care, you can wear his stuff, but you're like, Yeezys are truth. I'm like, bro, don't talk to me. Like, I automatically dismiss him. I'm like, does Kanye have a degree in anything? Oh, no, he doesn't. Oh, okay. So you listen to someone that doesn't have a degree. Oh, okay. All right, cool, man.
Well, I mean, I don't think that it doesn't always have to be about that. It's just like...
Well, yeah, you got to be intellectual on something. If you're going to speak on something, you got to be intellectual about it. You got to be factual about it. You can't just talk. You just can't talk about something and not have factual details backing it up. Opinions are cool. But some people like facts.
I mean, my thing is just like, when it comes to like racism and stuff like that, I don't think any, there's no information that's gonna like make it better that you're just being racist.
Like, yeah, the Holocaust didn't exist.
Yeah. Well, that's wild.
No, well, that movie that he's talking about is literally talks about things like that. Like, yeah, that's what, yeah.
Oh, hell.
Come on, Whoopi Grover. She said the same thing.
Yeah.
She literally said the same thing. Like, that people believe this stuff.
Well, they'll say it wasn't that bad and all that. Yeah.
Or it wasn't based off slavery. Like, you know.
I remember my one of my first bosses was Turkish, and I remember him telling me that, and I was like, are you serious?
You see what I'm saying? It's like, like, you know, that's like real. Like, we can't go back and like rewrite that. That happened.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's fucking crazy.
Like, now they're gonna say the Spanish and English war didn't happen. How about that next?
Right. I don't know. It's wild. Yeah, I feel like it's more to come.
It's crazy, man. So people want to pick and choose what.
But at the same time, I mean, we did have Nazis marching in Virginia. Remember, like, the university?
We had, we had Nazis working for NASA once the war ended. So, I mean, come on.
Well, that's different.
Like, it's history's out there. It's all out there.
All right, y'all. Peace.
We out.